Shaw Academy is going to teach you a thing or two, and you do need to learn a thing or two over the course of your life. You're never done learning. You're learning something every day, and as you do learn, you expand your skill set, and you become a great deal more employable, or maybe you just want to be a freelancer. You have to have some kind of value that you bring to the table that you could sell to people, a consultant, or you're going to design something. Let's say you want to be a photographer, or you want to help with financial trading. You want to be a day trader, or maybe a retirement expert, something like that. Social media marketing is big. Mobile app development, man, you learn how to do that, you'll be a billionaire. Sports nutrition, graphic design, think of all the things that you can learn. Shaw Academy has classes to teach you all of this, and for listening to my voice right now, you qualify for a discount on tuition of up to 98%. Shaw Academy, they conduct live, fully interactive lessons on the internet and record these as well in case you missed the live one. You can go back 24/7 and check it out. Sign up now for as little as $13. Go to the sponsors page on our website, click on the Shaw Academy button, and start your way on the road of learning. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts. We have plenty today. Authors. Oh, man, I think we have five new books in the store. And we hear from the others as well, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. How are we doing in that respect? Has anybody been smiling? Not just emoji smile, but real smile. Have we seen your crab-cracking choppers make an appearance on the program today? I sure hope so. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
I can fill it with Skylar.
Yeah. Skylar has a friendly, toothy smile.
Are you saying I have a lot of teeth?
Not the more than the normal number. What is the normal number of teeth for an adult after you have your wisdom teeth yanked out?
32, something like that?
Is it that many?
I think it is.
Oh, I was going to say 26, but I don't know.
Seems like overkill, doesn't it?
Do we really need that many?
I don't know. I only hit my food about five or six chews before I swallow. I mean, the way you're supposed to chew more before you swallow.
You're like Homer right. Simpson?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I eat too fast.
Oh, I know I do.
So do I. I do too. Yes.
I don't want it to get cold. I don't want it to get cold. I can't help it.
Yeah,
I get it from my dad.
But then you get those burned up hanging gum things in your mouth too if you eat your hot food too fast, don't you?
Do you have your wisdom teeth? Do you have your wisdom teeth?
I had my wisdom teeth and four bicuspids, I believe, taken out all at once. I don't think they do that anymore. I had eight teeth removed in the same.
So you were just swollen.
Yeah, and I was 17 or so, and
I still have my wisdom teeth.
I woke woke up from my sleep, whatever it was that they gave me, and to a hot nurse. And I came on to her when I came up. You know, you say stupid things when you come out of your anesthesia.
Oh yeah.
Mine was like a total pickup line to my nurse.
She didn't burn her gums, did she? She was hot.
No. Yeah. But you still have your wisdom teeth.
I do.
And there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
Do they ever grow in? Like, do you ever feel them growing? Because I can still feel mine every now and then. I still have mine.
But... No, I asked my doctor about it. He said, no. He said, they're extra grinders. So he goes, you have room for them. I said, what are you saying, doc? I got a big mouth?
You can get more of the apple in there. Yeah. You chew on it. It's more efficient.
See?
There you go.
And Skylar, you have yours?
I do.
Really?
See, we're like that... that 1% or something, because
I know
very few have their
I'd be
wisdom teeth.
Chomping down accidentally on my cheeks, on the inner sides of my cheeks all the time. Does that happen to you? Do you chomp on your cheeks? They get in the way?
No, not really.
Okay.
Maybe you have chubby cheeks.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I just might, yeah. I just might. Oh, When Skylar, when you're getting your music, I know you're deeply entrenched in the music business.
I am.
What's the name of that band you work with all the time?
Passion Pit.
Passion Pit, yeah. They would be nowhere without you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I mean, where would they be? They wouldn't even know where to find their tour bus if it weren't for you.
Aw, that's very sweet.
But it's true. But I think a band like Passion Pit and other bands, what's their big hit, Passion Pit?
Take a Walk is a big one, and then there's a song called Sleepyhead. Those are the two that really put them on the map.
Yeah,
and Buy Me a Boat.
And Buy Me a Boat.
Right. Now, I'm sure when they're surfing the internet, surfing YouTube and all of that, they could probably find their songs on the internet, and they say, no, wait a minute. This is not our YouTube channel. This is just some dude in Poughkeepsie, and he's got our entire album available to play on his YouTube channel, and we're not getting any money off of that. And that's got to be awfully frustrating for an artist to know that their work is just out there on the internet for free for all kinds of people.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, YouTube actually, it's funny because it helps spark careers for some people like Justin Bieber and those who are discovered on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean all musicians are fans.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Black Keys drummer, you know, the Black Keys.
Sure.
So their drummer, Patrick Carney, he's like the latest musician to hit out at YouTube for the way it treats and compensates artists. So he took to Twitter to write about YouTube, allegedly allowing illegal content to remain online, tweeting, you know, give me 5 minutes on YouTube and I can probably find 250 songs that are available, which the artist isn't getting paid for, he wrote. And he's like, at least.
Yeah.
And he says that a song should cost as much as an avocado.
Whoa.
Wow.
Really? What's an avocado go for these days?
Well, there are a couple dollars here, at least, right? Like $1, $1.50. But right now, if that were the case, a song in New Zealand could cost upward of $5 right now because there's a shortage over there.
An avocado shortage?
There's an avocado shortage. And in fact, there's a huge crime wave in New Zealand. At least 40 thefts of avocados since January, you know.
Guacamole have gangs have taken over.
Oh, yeah. They're just like
the avocado bandit.
Seriously. They're sneaking onto farms in the middle of the night. They're raking the trees, loading vehicles with the fruit, selling it roadside in grocery stores, you know, for $3 to $5 each because it's been a poor growing season.
Yeah.
So there's an increased demand, and many New Zealand growers, they focus on the export market when it comes to avocados. So they've had to install alarm systems, farmers. They've installed alarm systems and automatic lights.
Automatic weapons?
Seriously. And some have lost a quarter of their crop for the year due to these thieves.
No kidding.
Yeah. All avocados on the black market.
Well, so if you go to your Trader Joe's and they say New Zealand avocados, beware.
Yeah,
you're going to pay through the nose.
Yeah.
And you're not even going to get a free song out of the deal.
No songs.
No. All right. Now, my youngest daughter, she's been she's a full-time student, but she's been a waitress, too, for about a year or so, and she does all right. It's a little small place, a little Italian place, and every now and then she'll say, Dad, I did well, you know, came home with $100 in my pocket. Well, it's, you know, that's great for her, but every now and then you hear these stories. It seems like every week you hear these stories about some guy and a waitress, and all of a sudden the waitress has huge bucks, like a $10,000, $100,000 tip, or even if it's just like a few hundred bucks from one guy, that's kind of a big deal if you're, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, like a lot of waiters and waitresses are. But another one of these stories came out, Dale.
Yeah, it's amazing. This gentleman visited this diner, and he sat down at the counter and had a $40 meal. And when he got his check, he paid the bill, and he left a $1,000 tip.
Man.
Now, he either had a great meal and service, or he had one too many. And it turns out to be the latter of the two.
Oh, he did it. He was drunk.
Yeah, he had one too many. So what happened was the server went and told the owner of the restaurant, and what they did is they held the money because they knew this was something odd and unusual, of course.
Well, that's a stand-up server right there, huh?
Well, yeah. And so the gentleman came back the next day and realizing that he gave, you know, the server all his money. So they so they gave him his money back, but hopefully he left a generous tip
What's he doing eating a $40 meal if that's all the money he's got to his name? Is that what it was? No, he just gave, that's maybe not all his money.
No, all the money that he had.
Just a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. Oh, we learned one more thing about David Bowie this week.
We did. That's not his real name.
Yeah.
But you know what? You guys knew that. And, of course, our executive producer, Mike Stark, he is a music buff. He knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. His real name is Davy Jones.
See, I thought his name was Darren. But when this came out, I thought, well, that's interesting news. And Davy Jones is was, at the time, a very popular name, wasn't
it? Right. A member of the Monkees. So he didn't want that to conflict with Davy Jones of
the Monkees. Hey, we're the Monkees.
Yeah.
The lead singer of the Monkees, the only guy who had no musical talent whatsoever.
But he was so cute.
Yeah. He could play a mean tambourine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that little shaker.
Yeah, but at least the other guys knew how to play instruments, at least. But Davy Jones had nothing.
He had the looks. He had the looks.
Yeah.
They had the talent.
He was a heartthrob, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I actually interviewed one of the Monkees.
Which one?
Mickey Dolenz.
Oh, the best one.
Yeah.
The most talented.
I had him on my show. Few years back, yeah.
Well, musicians can be good interviews. You know who Anthony Kiedis is, right?
Mm-hmm. Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that has a knack for just, he could say anything in his lyrics and make absolutely no sense, and it somehow works. Right?
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, you could play a game if you want to at parties. And just call it Made Up Red Hot Chili Pepper Lyrics. And, you know, instead of karaoke, just have people make up the lyrics and it would work. Try that at your house. Anyway, Anthony Kiedis saved the life of a baby while the Chili Peppers were shooting their carpool karaoke video with late night TV host James Corden. They stopped for a dance-off. They went and got some Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anthony had to give a baby CPR.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. When they were getting the food, a woman came running out of her house screaming for help. She was holding a baby that had stopped breathing. And Anthony said, quote, "We all ran across the street. The lady thrust her baby into my arms. And I thought, I'm going to try and do a little CPR real quick, see if I can get some air in this kid." He tried some open the mouth a little bit, but it was locked shut. He couldn't open the baby's mouth. So he started rubbing the baby's belly, and bubbles started coming out of the baby's mouth, and the eyes rolled back into place, and the baby started breathing again.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He was doing like a little Buddha thing.
Is he a father, I wonder? I wonder if that was just like paternal instincts or if he's been, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah, it is. And maybe he's a father. And if Father's Day is this weekend, we're about to talk about Dad, the original superhero, with mentor, speaker, and author Tom Gagliano. He's standing by to speak with us in moments. But I want to tell you about Aquasana. Aquasana makes a home water filtration system that makes drinking water from the tap absolutely delicious. Their Rhino filtration system knocks out almost all the chlorine from the water. And the reason that's important is because the chlorine evaporates from your shower water. And then that cloud of poisonous gas is floating around in your house. A Rhino filtration system from Aquasana takes all the other junk out of your water as well. The heavy metal, the industrial solvents, pesticides. Your family deserves clean, safe water. And just for listening to me, you get 40% off and free shipping on a complete system. Their 1 million gallon Rhino whole house filtration system usually sells for more than $1,600. It's yours for $978.99. If you go to the sponsors page at philhewlettandfriends.com and click on the Aquasana button. Aquasana, live healthy.
See, that's household air pollution right there. See, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
Household air pollution we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, so.
Now let's talk about Dad, shall we? Returning to the show is the author of the book, Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, which is probably one of the best titles of a self-help book ever. The book's available in the store on our website. Mentor, speaker, Tom Gagliano. Great to have you back on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Listen, and it's don't put your crap in your kid's diaper. That your is an important word.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I left a word out.
There you go.
And is your website still thomasgagliano.com?
Well, easier. It's theproblemwasme.com. That's after my first book.
The problem?
Wasme.com.
Yeah, all right. Wasme.com. I'm just writing that down to make sure that I don't forget. Now, we're talking Father's Day today, and of course, the focus is on Dad. Who is Dad in the eyes of sons and daughters?
Dad is the child's first hero. That's who Dad is.
Yeah.
You know, I always say this story because I think my little 8-year-old said it best. Watching a baseball game, he said, "Dad, how come the kids in the stand root so hard for their favorite baseball player?" And I said, "Those baseball players are their heroes." And he said, "You know, Dad, they may be my heroes someday, but you're always going to be my first hero." And I truly believe that all dads are their child's first hero. Now, we got to maintain that. It's not an easy role to maintain, but I do believe that whether we want that responsibility or not, we got it.
Yeah. Now, how do you maintain that status as hero with the kids? Do you have to build stuff? Do you have to bring home trophies and act like the stars that they see out on the baseball and football field?
I think the best way to do it is to create a safe place. You know, if your kid can talk to you about anything that's on their mind, whether it's their curiosity with sex, whether it's their curiosity with drugs, their curiosity with terrorism, anything that's on their mind, if they feel that Dad is going to listen to me, he's not going to tell me that my feelings are stupid or they're wrong, but hear what I have to say and remember. And as I always tell parents, feelings are not wrong or right. They're not true or false. They're feelings. And I don't have to agree with what my son says, but I certainly have to listen and hear it.
Yeah. And that's the key, isn't it? Paying attention and being interested, because you don't necessarily have to start the conversation. If your kid's got something to say and they know you're going to listen all the time, you create an environment, like you talk about, where the kid feels comfy just talking about whatever.
And you know what's amazing? All of us want our kids to listen to us. And I got to tell you, the best way I've gotten my children to listen to me is by listening to them first.
Yeah.
You know, my kids tell me, anything that comes on their mind. In fact, my daughters tell me more than I want to know, if you follow me.
But yeah, yeah.
The truth is that I created the place where they can talk to their dad. Now, some parents get a little agitated with that. They're like, well, you're not supposed to be your child's friend. And they're right. We're not supposed to be their friend. We need to set the rules. We need to enforce the consequences. You know, you don't clean your room. You don't get your allowance. You don't put your toys away. You can't play with your toys the next day. We need to, keep those rules steady on the choices they make. But that doesn't mean you don't keep the communications free.
Well, there's the trick, Tom. I mean, you open up this line of communication, and your kid feels comfy just saying whatever they want to say, and then all of a sudden they say something you didn't want to hear, and you put them on restriction, and the kid says, "Whoa, I'm not talking about that anymore."
Well, why? What is my child going to tell me that I don't want to hear? Again, it's actions. If my child is telling me something, you know, I'll give you a great example, and I always use this. You know, my son in eighth grade said to me, "Hey, Dad, how come, some of my friends smoke weed, and I'm really curious. They said I should try it." Now, what did I want to say as a dad? As a recovering addict, because I had a bad childhood, very bad myself, I wanted to say, listen, stay in your room until you're 26. I'll tell you when to come out.
Yeah, right. but what if your son comes up to you and says, "Hey, Dad, me and my buddies, we took a shot at shoplifting today, and we got away with it."
Well, what I would tell him, first of all, I'd sit down with him and say, "Look, you chose to break the law. You realize that? You chose to go to jail. If they find out that you did that, you can go to jail. And that was your choice, not mine, not the store, your choice." I need to tell him choices. As I was saying to you earlier, is that I told my son, if you smoke weed, you've chosen to break the law, and you could go to jail. And we went on the internet, and we explored weed and talked about it. And here's the bottom line. My son turned and said to me, "Dad, I don't hang out with those kids anymore."
Yeah.
So let's say your example. I was hanging out with my friends, and they stole.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. You chose maybe to go to jail if you stole.
Yeah.
You realize that. Let's talk more about what the consequences are so that my son on his own will choose never to do that again. Not I have to twist his arm. See, parents try to control their child's behavior, and I got to tell you, it'll only work until they get to a certain age. Then they're going to do whatever they want to do. Rather, I teach parents the ways to supply their children with the tools to control their own behavior, where their child wants to do the right thing, not has to do the right thing.
How are you going to spend your Father's Day, Tom?
I'm going to spend it. My kids are older now. I have a 15-year-old, but they're coming. They're coming from Hoboken, New Jersey, and around. And we're going to go get some lobster because it seems that that's what I love, lobster fried Diablo. So we're going to go out to dinner. And we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. What do they put on top of that lobster and that lobster fried Diablo?
What's that?
What do you call that? What do they put on that lobster?
Lobster fried Diablo. It's lobster. It's spaghetti. It's in a hot sauce, a marinara sauce. If you were from Brooklyn, I could tell you wouldn't be asking me that.
No, that's right. Of course, but I'm not from Brooklyn.
No, you're not from Brooklyn. But anyway, it's delicious. They throw some clams in there. What's the matter for you? You know all that stuff. And we go to town.
Happy Father's Day to you, Thomas Gagliano. TheProblemWasMe.com. And we'll link to that on our website, sir. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and it's eye-opening what we have to do to be role models for our kids. And it's just, you have to put the work in and listen and be careful, and thank you for pointing that out. It's so obvious, but you're here to help us with the things we don't recognize.
Keep it simple, buddy. That's what it's about. Thanks for having me, guys.
Enjoy your lobster, Fabiano.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. he was a hoot.
Yeah, he's,
I like
having him on. Hey, if you've ever been camping, you think you might or you could go camping, or maybe you'd never go camping. We have an interview for you, the author of the book Under the Stars, How America Fell in Love with Camping, coming up in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.